gentlemen. So hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. A deadly serious show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You tune in 5 days a week from 5 till 7 central, and we'll make things so serious that you'll bleed out of your eyeballs like an LRAD weapon gets used on crowds and stuff. That'll be fun, won't it? Right, my very special guest is the skeptical psychic. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, so I'm going to preface this conversation. Psychic ability is something that I believe everybody has. It can be trained, it can be tuned, it can be utilized, so long as you are willing to forget to a degree that there's a 3D universe that rules everything. It doesn't. Okay, there are two universes, as far as I'm concerned, that are side by side, the physical and the metaphysical, and one cannot survive without the other, kind of like in the Matrix, how the body cannot live without the mind. The body's here and the mind is somewhere out there, man. There's a lot of different things like strange coincidences, synchronicities, premonitions, all this sort of stuff, remote viewing, that is unexplainable if you're only looking in the 3D realm. So Nancy Dutertre is the guest today, the skeptical psychic.com, and now she's a lawyer, ladies and gentlemen, a lawyer and a psychic. That's an interesting combination. It's kind of like Tabasco sauce and ice cream. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I'm really I'm enjoying my Tabasco sauce on top of my ice cream right now.
Mm-hmm. I just thought about something very weird. It's actually out of some kind of a novel that I read as a child. Anyway, could you give us a little bit of a background or about how you actually kind of got into this? I mean, you weren't born a psychic or anything, were you? It just started. Did you develop it, or did something strange happen to you that brought it on, and then you started expanding on it? What?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I wasn't born with, in the sense that I had absolutely no clue that I had any psychic abilities. I came out of a really academic family. They thought psychiatrists were off the wall, so psychics didn't even exist. I mean, I have no psychics in my family. We never talked about it. And I had no experiences. I had, in retrospect, one or two very weird things that happened, but I couldn't explain them. So I thought, I'll just ignore that. And I shoved it, in the back of my mind, and there it stayed. I had a very powerful, spontaneous mediumship experience when I was a practicing attorney in New York. I was at I was invited to attend this workshop. It was for psychotherapists, and I was the only non-psychotherapist. And
were all the other therapists psychos, and you're the only one with a conscience, were you?
Yeah, something like that. And I ended up basically going well beyond what we were supposed to be doing, which was learning about intuitive gestalt psychotherapy. And I ended up basically experiencing a spirit who walked into the room and had to deliver the message for one of these psychotherapists. And I figured they were going to look at me like I was out of my mind, which maybe they did. I have no idea. But even that wasn't enough to really kick me over into this idea that maybe I could be psychic. I just wasn't interested. It wasn't part of my world. And it wasn't until I decided to try and help, actually, the guy who was developing this intuitive gestalt psychotherapy. He was supposed to be writing a book. And I called him up. I said, I've had a couple of dreams about you. And he said, well, I charge for that. And I said, well, I'm not paying you, but I had a couple of dreams that you were covered with mold. And he said, what do you think that means? And I said, I don't think you're writing the book that you're supposed to be writing about intuitive gestalt psychotherapy. So I think I write pretty well. So, if there's any way I can help you, I'm perfectly willing to do it. I could proofread or edit or bounce ideas, whatever you want to do. And he said, well, it's a little early in the morning. Let me think about this. And typical him, he didn't get back to me for another half a year. And in the meantime, I figured, all right, if he's not going to write this book, somebody's got to get it out there. So I'm going to write this book about the psychology of intuition. So originally this book, which is just out on the market now, called Psychic Intuition, Everything You Ever Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know, I thought it was going to be a book about psychology. And what I learned was psychologists could care less about intuition. They call it a bunch of other things like empathy, resonant empathy, transference, countertransference, which to me are very separate because they're controllable. Intuition is a loose cannon. And so I figured, okay, well, if they're not interested, let me see what the neuroscientists are saying about it. So I studied a lot of neuroscience. They were running faster than the psychologists. And I said,
there seems to be a phone off the hook on the background there, Nancy.
Nope, nothing here.
I hear some kind of a phone just going, beep, 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 beep.
I hear it also, but it's not here.
That, okay. Well, let's write that off to some kind of a psychic interference. Maybe we can take that and put it in the back burner and we'll figure out what it means later. But anyway, continue.
I'm sure there are many people interested in hearing what I have to say. Then I did sort of all of my research kind of exploded, and I started talking to psychics and mediums and medical intuitives and military people and artificial intelligence people and poker players and musicians and artists, you name it, anybody who could tell me anything about intuition. And I am answering your question, by the way. It's a long answer. But I finally got to the point I realized, well, I can't really talk about this unless I know how to do it. You can't talk about it like you could talk about like an intellectual or an academic subject. So I said, all right, let me just see if I can learn from the inside. So I got apprenticed to a very well-known psychic detective for about 10 years. And I also trained with a lot of mediums and medical intuitives. And I realized at a certain point, only after arguing with all my teachers a lot, that I actually had a certain ability. And that's when I decided, now I'm interested. And I wrote the book completely differently from how I had originally thought that it was going to be.
So what changed? What was it that actually determined that you do have some kind of psychic ability there? And do you think everybody has that? If only they would train and have these similar experiences, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. And that's the premise of my book, because I explain it in terms of the senses. And I think you're 100% right. We all have the ability. We're all born with it. We all lose it, or not all of us, but most of us lose it. And we can retrain it, but it takes a lot of discipline. And you have to do a little bit what you were saying. The way that I explain this, I teach this in New York, but I explain to all my students, you have to stop thinking. And you have to stop having emotional feelings. Once you wipe all of that out of your head, you're left with sensations. And that's what you want to focus on, because the sensations, those are the vibrations that are surrounding us and giving us data about our universe. And they can be extremely accurate. But normally, you know, we dismiss it. We don't pay any attention. Once you start thinking, you start guessing. If you start guessing, that is the end of your psychic ability. If you start having emotions, like if I were trying to read you and I really wanted the best for you, that's going to interfere with reality, you know? So you have to get rid of all that in order to get just straight down to perception.
What makes us lose that perception? Is the system, because in my opinion, the system's built up and you're sent into public schools and even past that, you go to university. And all of these things, they don't seek to expand your mind at all. They seem to keep you in total tunnel vision and you become an expert at ignoring things, right? And they teach you critical thinking, i.e. being critical of people who can still think.
Listen, I like critical thinking. I got no problem with it, but it's only one way. And what the people in academics don't get, and what skeptics don't get, is that they are looking through one set of rose-colored glasses. And they don't understand that there are actually other ways of processing information and thinking without thinking that will get you the answer, and it will probably get you there a lot faster and a lot more information a lot quicker. Not always. It's not 100%, but it puts you on what I call the superhighway of information. It'll get you there really fast. And I do believe, I think you're totally right, that it has very much to do with how we get taught. There's a window of time. It usually happens between the ages of about 3 to 6. And it's in that window that most kids will demonstrate their psychic ability if they have it. And usually after that, they lose it. But that's the same window that we have for learning a second language. And some people say that we all have the ability for perfect pitch, and we lose it in that window. Well, if you think about it, in that window of time, guess who's going to school for the first time? We all are. And we're all starting to learn language, and we're learning how to communicate in a particular format so that we can all understand each other. Language is sequential. You got to go from A to B to C to D in our sentences, in anything. And you have to do it in a logical framework. All of that kills psychic ability. And that's, I believe, that's absolutely why we lose it.
And do you think that there's a deliberate agenda behind this? Like there's, I don't know, like there's a conspiracy from up high to limit humanity's psychic potential so that we're far easier to enslave.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't really buy it, but I've heard it.
Hmm. Well, see, regardless of whether or not it's intentional, it's happening, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But what's happening also is you got more and more people out there who are understanding that they have the capability to be psychic. So it's all going back to the people again.
Well, in this world, it comes down to, in many cases, personal responsibility, and more or less. I've been talking with a bunch of people recently, and they're talking about how to be really, really big in this movement and things like that, and all these rules and all these protocols and everything like that that you've got to follow. And I just got to ask a simple question. Can you name me one person throughout history who followed all the rules and become an amazing superstar? Nobody. Okay? The people who actually excel in our society are the ones who actually learn to trust their intuition. Chips fall where they may type of mentality. It's a risk, true. But without great risk, there is no great rewards.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I think, you know, most of the people who have, you know, made it big and did it by sort of breaking the mold were breaking a mold, but still thinking within a certain type of framework. They just picked different ideas. And they broke the ideas. Thinking in a psychic way is a complete paradigm change. You have to change everything about the way you look at the world and the way you experience the world in order to get it. And most people, they don't realize that they're already looking through their own lenses. So they say, no, you're wrong. I don't see that. There's a reason why skeptics literally don't see the same thing that believers do. They are connecting the dots, if you want to call it, you know, the bits of information that we have out there in a different way. And so they literally see something different. The way I explain, we got bombarded by 11 million bits of sensory information every second of the day. We're only consciously aware of between 16 to 40 of those little sensory bits of information every second. So what happens to the other 10 million and whatever? They're getting to our body. And I believe that our body, even though they're not registering within the spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum or the chemical spectrum of a particular sensory organ, like the eyes, the ears, the nose, whatever, they're registering on a molecular level. And those vibrations with that information are actually, they're getting to our brain. And I believe that our imagination is actually our largest sensory organism.
Do you believe that there might be some kind of communication between cells and things like that? Like, a microorganism, you know, just one tiny little organism, and a macroorganism is simply a whole bunch of tiny little organisms that have come together to produce one larger one. So I've got 5 trillion cells in my body, give or take, that produces this one organism called Vinny. Does that mean all these little cells in my body all have their own consciousness and their own response to stimuli and things like that, and I'm capable of picking up in some way? As they course through my brain, they can whisper things to me?
Well, people talk about, you know, all the cells having some type of holographic type of consciousness. I don't know whether it's holographic in that sense. I think there's a pretty good chance it might be. But clearly, if all of the cells in your body are completely replaced every 7 years, there's some major type of communication going on because you're still functioning at how old?
27.
There you go. So you're still together and cohesive as a human being. I think what happens is that this information reaches our brain, and our brain tries to image the information in a way that we understand, that's already coded. So, you know, our eyes, when we look at, we look at something like a red apple, you know, we've understood our eyes and our brain and everything else. We've translated all those little electrical signals so that we say, oh, that's a red apple. I think that what happens with this other information that doesn't get sent through our eyes or any of the five senses, but gets to us, gets into our physical being, that information gets rooted to the brain, and the brain says, oh, let me see if I can describe it to myself, kind of like a red apple. And that is psychic information.
That is interesting. Also, you talked about skeptics before, and my sister invited me to a skeptics meetup one time, and they were talking about GMO food and the possible dangers and things like that. And the person was just this university graduate who came out and financed by Monsanto and stuff like that, saying GMO is all good, there's no problem. And I talked about this article that had come out about how they don't serve GMO food in Monsanto cafeterias. And this other skeptic over there turns up on her little smartphone, she does a Google search, and she goes, look, we're skeptics here. Have a look at the websites that you've got here, beforeitsnews.com, da 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 da. And I go, whoops, I apologize. I didn't realize that you don't apply your skepticism to mainstream media as well, and you're only skeptical of alternative media. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.